Thank you, Brother Rafa. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. We always thank God for our presence. We say alhamdulillah. We thank God for our presence, and we trust God with our future, and especially with our delivery. We trust God with our delivery that He will bless us to achieve the best for you in the audience here and you in the radio audience. We begin by saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Life is the last battlefield. Life itself is the last battlefield. Human life is core life, the core life of humanity. Human essence is what counts for that core life. Human essence for human life is as a seed for a plant or for plant life. Our classic scriptures give us that comparison. For plants, seeds lost, future lost. For humans, essence lost, future lost. Where people are found not conscious of what it means to be human or to have human life, life goes down, not up. Of all the global land masses, Africa appears now to be suffering the greater losses. However, hope is not lost. The Wilson Quarterly Magazine, Wilson Winner Issue 2008, carries a covered feature. I give you the quote that's on that cover of this winter issue of that magazine. Quote, "The Coming Revolution in Africa" by G. Pascal Zachary. Small farmers representing more than half sub-Saharan Africans are situating themselves to brighten the future for the whole continent. These small farmers are growing beautiful crops, exporting their produce to Europe. Wherever human life is valued, life is on the up and up. To lose a sense of human value is a loss of life's most potent motivation, a belief that all humans are of the same human essence, serve to keep the slaves up in spirit. Nations survive and nations prosper by the pride in achievement, or upon the pride in achievement. However, eventually, that pride fails. Bear with me. Human nature, of its own constitution, holds up life. Life rewards those who value it and punishes those who mistreat it. For the global community, the war is not on the other side of the ocean. The war and the final battle occur wherever people are. In this time of the global community, all of us are brought together in spirit, and the cultures of the various people on this planet Earth or mixing. Community dynamics are working now to finish us off or to save us for a new and better future. What is community dynamics? Community dynamics is the interaction of social interests, moral interests, political interests, industrial interests. When all of these interact, they produce a movement, and that movement goes forward as long as human essence are in the mix, alive in the mix. This battlefield is in the hood, where the children of ancestors sold on slave blocks are culturally hoodwinked. Sensationalism and consumerism enslave the freedom spirit. When we were slaves, we couldn't consume too much. Our consumption was controlled by the plantation. When we got free, we knew what we had to face. So we taught our children to be frugal. We taught our children not to be wasteful. We taught our children to work hard and sacrifice, to save for a better future. Work ethics, moral consciousness, all wiped out by modern day sensationalism and consumerism. This battlefield in the hood where our children, whose ancestors, were sold on slave blocks. Now we, their children, are defeated by the culture that we give in to. Sensationalism and consumerism enslave the freedom spirit. Traditional human pride suffers a sellout on hood blocks. So we have come from slave blocks to hood blocks. Isn't that something? Slave blocks to hood blocks. Life's battlefield is eroding our big cities' infrastructure. It has little to do with race anymore. It's the problem of society more than it is the problem of race. Society has lost big. The popular society, they have lost their connection with their human essence, and they have lost their human values. Only a few have survived. But isn't that what Scripture tells us? That in the end, the many will be lost, and only the few will survive. That's what it tells us. Both Scriptures, I don't have to name the Scriptures because both books, when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking with the knowledge of what both books say on the issue. Both books say that the many will be lost and only a few will be saved. The books I'm referring to, of course, is the Bible and the Quran. The Bible and the Quran. The Bible of the Christians and the Quran of the Muslims. Some people, they give in to sensationalism. They follow the big crowds. So you have excellent help in speakers, but they are not speakers that are sensational or who want sensationalism for themselves. So you don't gather with them. You don't gather behind them. You don't seek them. You don't gather behind them. They have a few, but that's according to Scripture. And I'm telling you, if I came here and there was only 9 persons in here, I would be just as happy as I am now. The crowd doesn't move me. The sincerity in the people moves me. I'm not a show businessman. Never was and never will be. I used to be a loudmouth young minister, but I wasn't showing off. I was just angry. I was angry. Angry with the wickedness and stupidity of people. Yes. Traditional human pride suffers a sellout on hood blocks. Yes. Not slave blocks anymore, but they are slave blocks, hood blocks. Anything that takes your human values out of you and takes your human spirit away from you, that thing enslaves you. So we are slaves, those who suffer sensationalism, a need to follow sensationalism, and a need to consume beyond their needs, a need to be held by consumerism. They are slaves. So if you want to be free economically or financially, you have to first break from that spirit of sensationalism and consumerism. You have to break with that spirit and get back where we were when we protested against our enslavement on the plantation. We were not in any sensationalism. We were not in any consumerism. We were in our pride as human beings. And that pride made us very uncomfortable. We would not tolerate being slaves. And we worked against it until we influenced many other people who had a sense of human value and prided themselves in being human beings. They supported our effort, Quakers and others, Jews and Gentiles or Europeans. They all were touched by our struggle and our determination to stay human and not give in to the dehumanizing influences of the plantation. And we succeeded. All we have to do is rehearse, go back, retrace our existence from where it began to where it is now. It began on the plantation. We were children separated from our parents. We had no way of connecting with Africa religions, or with the spirit of the African people. No way. We were separated so thoroughly, so completely. There was no way to connect again with that. The only reality we had was the plantation life. Now understand that. Children taken away from their parents and raised with no knowledge of their parents' way of life knew nothing but plantation life. Animals will stay right where you put them. And they will find a way to be happy where you put them. But a human being, if you degrade their worth as humans and put them in circumstances or situations that prevent them from feeling or having a sense of human, being human, and the sense of well-being, it will trouble them inside. It will trouble them inside. And it will make them rebel against the situation you put them in. They won't accept it. Human beings are very special in creation. We are the most special of all creation. Human beings. When you believe that, it puts you much above the regular run, much above the general crowd. Yes, when you believe that, it lifts your mind up. It lifts your mind up above the general herd that just go with the impulses and not think. No, when you have a sense of your human value, it works up here and down here in the heart. It works in both places. The heart works to help the mind focus. And once the mind focus, the mind takes over and leads the way. But we need the heart to help us focus. The heart feeling for one another, caring about one another, not wanting to see other life suffer so much. That's the heart awakening up. That's the heart. The heart awakens. And when the heart awakens, the mind immediately steps beside his wife. And the mind says, I'll go out and trot away for us. I will go out, darling. And I will chart a way for us. That's how God made us. That's how our Creator constituted us. Our infrastructure is now needing serious repairs. And where's the money? More taxes, the poor already tax too much. But something has to be done. So everybody will say, or practically everybody will say, the rich has to be taxed, and the poor has to be taxed less. And I agree with that. Yes, I agree with that. Now, when we see what's going on today, we see some new things happening, positive things too, very positive. When two rich fellows share the same concern, I mean very rich fellows, share the same concern, and they get together and publish a book. And this book they publish is given as encouragement and instruction to the average person, medium income, poor in poverty level income, or simply poor. They're giving it to anyone, this information to anyone who will appreciate it and use it. Their book is to teach us poor, medium income, all of us, how we can become rich. One is an Asian, the other one is a European American. Now, this is new. This is something new that has happened. Where rich people want poor people to become rich. Why? Because they are good-hearted humans. Because they are people who value human life. And they feel bad with so much money being in the control of a very few persons. And they want to change that. They know if they can encourage and be successful at bringing poor people, middle income and poor people, into the road to riches, they know that society will be relieved of much of its burden. Much of its burden. The rich who have come into wealth, most of them because they were favored by circumstances, they are tied up with their business interests. Their business interests takes up all their time. But they know that if regular people become wealthy, very, very wealthy, these wealthy people will not tie up all their time in industry, technology, and things like that, but they will share their good fortune with their communities, and they will invest heavily in their communities, and their communities will grow financially, and misery will be relieved for both the rich and the poor, because when we suffer, it eventually becomes an issue, a political issue. And eventually the government makes it an issue for everybody. And the rich are taxed. And the poor are somewhat relieved. But if we could be ourselves the factor for changing our circumstances, nobody would be overly taxed. Everybody would be relieved. And this is what's going to happen. Oh, yes. Life's battlefield is disrupting home life. You see, I started on the inside. Human essence. Then I went to the outside. What's happening in the world. And now I've come back. Inside. Home life. And that's just how we've been torn down. That's just how our spirit has been broken. That's just how we have lost our life. We lost first inside ourselves. We lost the sense of human worth. And followed the world. Then the world did us in. And misery will drive us back home. Oh, yeah. So we're back home now. And we're seeing life's battlefield. And we're seeing how life's battlefield has also enveloped home life. Yes, it has taken over home life. Disrupting home life. We let our life go to the streets. Oh, I tried to keep my children at home. You tried. But your children went to the streets. And we all didn't get together and address the issue as a major issue. Did the neighborhood blocks get together? and address this issue as a major issue? So in Islam, if the community fails, the whole community, everyone in the community is to blame. And we have to admit that our community failed. We didn't rise up against these things as a community and say, this cannot happen. We cannot tolerate this. No, we did not. So we all are to blame. But Allah says, your life and resurrection is as that of one living soul. What is Allah telling us? Before you can lose the good life that Allah wants you in, or that God wants us in, you have to lose it here, right here in your heart and soul. You have to lose it there first. That's where it starts first, in the individual. In the individual. And if it's to come, return, the good life is to return, or if we are to have a resurrection of our spirit, it has to happen there, in one person. Well, Allah has given us great help. Great help. A new day is here. A bright day is here. Relief has come in one soul. Barack Obama. This ain't politicking. I keep this separate from politics. I want this to be separate from his campaigning. But I have to connect it with him because Allah, God, has blessed him to aspire for the presidency of these United States. And the same Allah, God, has blessed him with strong support from strong and rich white Americans, European Americans. And whether he gets there or not, the victory is already real. The spirit and soul of black folks will never be the same again. Allah has permitted that one person that we identify as a black man or as a Negro, a so-called Negro, or as an African American, going, whoa, with green lights in the road, no red lights, green lights in the road to the White House, green light. They try to divide us along color lines, white and blacks. Oh, he'll win this state because they got a lot of blacks there. He has proven them to be wrong. He won't win this state because Hispanics are going with Hillary Clinton. He's proving them to be wrong. Huh? This is the day of awakening. For sure. We have been warned, but our leaders, most of them in religion, I didn't say in Christianity, I didn't say in Islam, I said in religion. Our leader, most of them in religion, have not stayed with their human values. Most of them have separated from their human values. They value showbiz. They value sensationalism. They value money. They value fancy cars. They value rich houses to live in. Lost human values. So how can the people be saved when their leaders are blind, deaf, and dumb? So we have to get our home life back. And the only way to get our home life back is to awaken again to our human essence. Essence means the most important part. Essence means what represents the value of whatever you're talking about. You know, you get an orange, and right away, you want to get the juice out of it, don't you? Or you want to eat the inside, don't you? I never seen anybody get an orange and chew from the outside. You want to go into it. You want to get to its essence. Ah. So, to get the home life back, we have to stand upon our human values again. We stood up to the white man who was enslaving us. We stood up to plantation rule, the plantation rule over our life. We stood up to it. What were we standing upon? A sense of our human value. If we return to that now in these homes, we can inspire our children. Husband and wife can be loyal to one another. You can't be loyal to one another if it's only about sex like an animal. You have to have something stronger than that because you are much above animal life. Allah sent you 7 stratospheres up above animal life. So you just can't have sex and plenty to eat and dress fancy. Look how fancy the peacock dress. And no matter how much you women try to look pretty, you can't outdo that peacock. So that's not where it is for human beings. Human beings don't have to look pretty. You have to feel pretty. That's the difference. You hear what I said? Human beings don't have to look pretty. Human beings have to feel pretty. Human excellence is all about essence. Outward is beautified by what is established inwardly. If you got the right thinking in your heart, the Bible say, a man is as he thinketh in his heart. If you disconnect your thinking from heart, you're not a man, you don't have life. You're on the way to death, destruction, loss of human values, and loss of community excellence. One follows the other. If you lose appreciation for human values, it won't be long before community values will disappear and community life will be lost also. And that's what has happened to us. And we can save it all. Just go back to human essence. Stand upon human values, your appreciation for your human worth. Stand upon that again. And you can bring your home back into civilization. Back into civilization. Civilization means progress. Civilization means progress for moral life. Progress for material life. progress for education. Civilization means progress all around, progress. Well, if you just stand up on human values again, you can bring home life back into civilization. Ain't no civilization at home. When you wake up and you don't hear nothing but MF and all the other bad language, cheap language, cheap language. It works against education. There's a very good word in the dictionary to describe what you are angry with. But you got a convenient word. It's an MF. Everything is an MF. So that reduces your vocabulary. Your vocabulary becomes very small. It helps you be ignorant. See how life is battling to get rid of that that's in the way of life? Don't blame it on the white world. Stop blaming it on the white world. It's over for the white world. The white world has been brought down into the same battlefield everybody else is in. It's the battlefield of life. And they are losing just like everybody else is losing. So you have to wake up to the prophecy that there is coming a time when life itself will speak out. Life itself, as God constituted it, will speak out. And life itself will start punishing those who have abused and mistreated life. That's where we are now, and I'm at my conclusion. So you ain't got no excuse. I don't have any excuse. God has made it very clear to us, and God has given us a great helper in Barack Obama. Peace to you all here and in the radio listening audience. Peace to you, and stay with the best that you have. Don't put down your excellence for something worse. Assalamu alaikum. Premipra is still available. It should be available forever. There are three frame sizes for the poem. $33, not the frame itself. $33 is the total you pay, and that's one frame size. $50 is a bigger frame size, and $55 is still a bigger frame size. Order your poem today for pickup at the next first Sunday, April 6, 2008. See Ilyas Berhani, he's back there, or Muhammad Siddiq Jr., located at the table along the wall, to place your order. Also, if you have already ordered a poem, don't forget to pick it up. You can pick it up right there at the table. Announcement 2. The Flower Girls Club, a Muslim girls club that is designed to meet the specific needs of Muslim girls, is coming to Chicago area. It was founded in Atlanta, Georgia in 2002 and has been growing ever since. The club is open to high school, middle school, and elementary school age Muslim girls. The girls are grouped according to their age and participate in interactive workshops and recreational activities that strengthen them in their Islamic knowledge and identity, instill leadership skills, build character, and strengthen the bonds of unity and friendship. Girls are encouraged to maintain good health and fitness through a variety of sports activities, including soccer, tennis, swimming, and bike riding. The Flower Girls Club provides an opportunity for young Muslim girls to learn all the skills necessary to become caretakers of Allah's creation. Oh, I love that expression. While making lasting friendships with their Muslim sisters. Come and join them on March 16th for our Flower Girls Roundup 2008 from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. at WDM Ministry, Inc., located at 929 West 171st Street, East Hazelcrest, Illinois. For more information, contact Khadija Siddiq at 317-459-0912, 317-459-0912, or email flowergirlsclub@aol.com, flowergirlsclub@aol.com. Announcement 3, quality woven scarf, big scarves, quality woven scarves purchased through group volume buy. I'm going to add some here because I have to say it was Imam Pasha of New York who made this connection for us. And we learned from sales in Atlanta that the sisters really preferred this scarf and were buying them. That's why we ordered some for our area. I will continue the announcement as they have it now. We have many beautiful colors and designs. To purchase these scarves, see Saba Burhani, located at the table along the wall. Thank you. We witness that God is one, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of everything. He is the first of creators. Hence he says in our holy book, he is the best of creators. We witness that, science witnesses that, especially in the artists. I've read the words of the artist who said, there is no art to match the art that's in the natural world. So we know the God is the God of humanity, and he's the God of beauty, he's the God of excellence, and he wants for human beings only excellence. And he have put it in our nature, We are inside, inherently inspired to be better and better at what we do. Some of us are blind to the direction that drives should be going in. So if we can clown, we'll do our best at it. If we are tough, we'll try to be our best at that. We'll be our best at something, because it's in our nature to do that, you know? But if we can just channel that energy in the right direction, all of us can have a wonderful community life. Yes, all of us should have a higher sense of purpose in existence. It's higher than individual life in existence. The highest purpose for human life in existence is community life. Community life. And Allah says you are the best community evolved for the good of all people. That tells us that if you are narrow, if you just want a community excellence that will benefit you or your race, Allah is not with you. But if you want community excellence that will represent the excellence of mankind, and you want to share whatever you have that the others don't have that will help them if they're sincere at heart, you want to share it with them. Okay? That's the community Allah evolved. Evolved means he raised it up naturally. See, a lot of us don't know that. When Allah says you're the best community evolved, Allah is saying he brought you out of nature. You are evolved upon the excellence of your nature. Allah has not given us something that's not already in our makeup to have. He only give us what he already put in our makeup for us to want or to have. So it is called the deen of fitrah, the deen of nature, original nature, in its best, in its purity, the Deen of Fitra. And you know the first Eid, the first holiday, is the holiday of Fitra, Eid al-Fitra. Isn't that revealing that Allah established the religion upon Fitra, and then He guided Muhammad to establish for us holidays, and the first of the holidays in the year, in the calendar year, as well as in the Islamic year, as well as in our year, is the month of the fast, and the celebration of that fast is the holiday, and that's the Eid al-Fitra. Eid al-Fitra. And what is Eid? Eid is holiday, is celebration. But what does it mean literally? Why are you having a holiday? Why are you celebrating? Because I have returned to the nature created for me by my God. So that's why that's what we're celebrating. And it comes before Hajj. Although Hajj is a bigger Eid. So what is that telling us again? It's telling us that God created us to have the right nature. And when we return to the right nature that He created for us, we have an occasion to celebrate, because that nature upholds good life. It upholds good life. It keeps the good life, and it promotes that good life growing and increasing in value. Just the original nature does that. I'm going to tie this in, but this is the second hour. Adam, if you look in the Bible, Genesis, and start with Adam's existence. That's the beginning of Genesis for human being, for human life. That's the beginning of Genesis. Well, it really is the beginning of Genesis, period. But I don't have enough time to go into all these little branches that branch all these little tributaries that branch off and go into the land, you know. That'll take too much time. But look at Adam's generation. And they're called Adams too. He named them Adam in the day that He created them. That's Genesis. The same Genesis that speaks of one Adam speaks of his generation as being Adam also. After Adam's creation, he has descendants. Abel, who becomes the agriculturalist, and he has Cain, who becomes the industrialist. Although the way it's given, it looks like Abel becomes the shepherd. What he raises is animals. And Cain becomes the land developer. But the first stage for the land developer in the history of human progress and community life is farming. So they're separated like that. And from farming and sheep herding, he has children from those, and they become iron workers, making musical instruments. All this is in the Bible. I'm giving you straight from the Bible. When I'm talking scripture. I speak to scripture, you know. Don't think I'm giving you my words. I don't give you my words. I don't have any words. All my words came from Scripture or from somebody else, somewhere else. And that's the way all of us should be. First day I got on my welding job, he wasn't the foreman, but he was my supervisor. He was responsible to teach me how, to show me how to start work, what to do. So the bell rang. He said, "Let's go to the workbench, Muhammad." I was called Muhammad on that job. And he said, big, tall, six-footer, firm, muscular, but not fat, but much older than me. I guess he said to himself, "I know this young guy, think he's looking at an old man." So he had white hair, and he braced himself on the workbench like this. He said, "Wallace," called me by my first name. One young man, he was talking to another man who's older, and he said, I got my training here and there. And I learned this and that and this and that. And I know how to do this and that and that and that." They said, then when they got ready to start to work, he said, "Yeah, I know this process here." And the old man said, "Who taught you that?" And he had to think, who taught him that? And he carried him through about six or seven questions like that. And every question, he had to go outside of himself to explain where he got it from. So the old man concluded, he said, "You don't know anything by yourself, do you?" So that's what he wanted to situate me first by telling me, "You don't know anything now. You're on this job, you don't know anything." So I heard him. He ignored my schooling. I had just come from welding school. I was certified as a combination welder by this welding school. Welding school on the west side? Big one. Trade school on the west side. Yeah, I think you got it. I didn't hear it, but I think you got it. Yes, that's it, on the west side. And it was known to train you in all the fields of baking, welding, whatever, plumbers, whatever. It had a reputation for really qualifying you to be put on a job. So he ignored all that, but that was okay with me. But the point is, we shouldn't brag. No matter how much you know, there's somebody knows much more. So never boast in what you know. Never feel you know it all. None of us know it all. Allah says in the Quran, this is to the scholars. He says this to the scholars. It's meant for the scholars. It's said to everybody, but it's meant specifically for the scholars. He says, above every possessor of knowledge is Allah, the all-knowing. Praise be to Allah. Now, where was I before I followed that tributary? Yes, how industry evolved. Yes, it started with the farmer and the shepherd, those who developed, who produce animals, and then those who produce grain or food from the earth. And it went from that to ironworkers. And those who make instruments for pleasure, for pleasure. And it comes up to today. Cain lives today. Who is Cain today? Cain is the industrialist. Who is Abel today? Abel is the socialist. See how they live? They haven't gone anywhere. They're still living. But the work has been evolved. The work has progressed and has been evolved. It's no more simplified. It's science, industry, technology. Science, technology, industry, science, and technology. That's what it is now. And Cain, you know, he was guilty of killing his brother. And he killed him while they were at work and spilled his brother's blood onto the surface of the earth. That means that he didn't kill a human being outright. That means the materialist socialized the socialist. Instead of the socialist remaining in his own social life and science, the materialist became so big that he overcome that movement and brought that movement under material production and under materialism. Right. Mm-hmm. That's the killing of the shepherd. Mm-hmm. Or the killing of his brother. But in the Quran, Allah says that Allah had compassion on him because he was feeling bad about what he had done. And Allah caused a little bird to come where the blood was spilled on the ground. And the little bird scratched the ground to cover the blood with earth. And the brother who was guilty, he said, "Why didn't I have the decency to at least cover my brother's blood?" And that was the beginning of his repenting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are beautiful stories. Very beautiful stories.